chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Ammon, Ammon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihu, Abihu the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Elihu the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
Good morning, everyone. I feel very honored and privileged to share the Word of God with you today. The title of today's message is Who is Jesus? So let us think about that as we go through. This passage from Matthew is very unique in a sense. In all the years I've been in this ministry, I can't remember ever studying the genealogy of Jesus. Of course, we've reflected on the beginning of Jesus' time through Christmas messages where we talk about his birth and coming into the world as our Savior, but never have I ever studied Jesus' family tree or family history. Each one of the four Gospels are a little bit different in the way that Jesus' birth story is told, too. After reading this passage, my first thought was, how am I going to deliver such a message on something that is so dry and often skipped over? I also thought about those who have read the entire Bible, and I thought, do they ever really read all of these names in the genealogies? They are long and a little bit hard to read and pronounce. But by the grace of God, and despite my own thoughts and opinions, I was able to find in my heart who Jesus is. And I would like to share that with you today. So since the majority of this passage is pretty straightforward, I've chosen Matthew 1:1 as the key verse. Can we read this together? Okay, go. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the message that I was able to receive in the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Please help me to speak to your people the importance of who Jesus really is. I pray that our hearts are prepared to hold on to these words and that we can truly remember the descendants from which our Savior has come from. Thank you for your love and grace you've given me to serve this ministry. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So part one, the three titles of Jesus. In verse one, Matthew describes Jesus as the Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Let's look at the significance behind each of those titles or names. The word Messiah or Christ means anointed one in Hebrew. This is a title given to a person believed to be the Savior who has been chosen to bring salvation to humankind. This title came to be understood as the promised one who was prophesied to be in the incarnation of hope for the people of Israel. Matthew began his explanation of who Jesus was by identifying him as a long-awaited Savior of the world. Next, Matthew describes Jesus as the son of David. And we all know that Jesus wasn't literally the son of David, but it is believed that Matthew was pointing out that Jesus was from a royal lineage. Through the Davidic covenant, we learned in 2 Samuel that God swore covenant love to David and promised that one of his immediate descendants would establish the kingdom, and that kingdom would endure forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us that a son would be given, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, of this future heir to David's throne. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 states, "Of greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The title Son of David reminds us that God's promises had not been forgotten. As Pastor Steve reminded us last week, David put God at the center of his life and fulfilled his vision. David accepted God's vision for him and knew what God's kingdom was going to be forever. God would fulfill those promises through Jesus. By calling Jesus the Son of David, Matthew tells us that Jesus is our long-awaited king that God promised to David in 2 Samuel. Finally, I just realized there was three ones there. The third, Son of Abraham. By connecting Jesus to Abraham, we are reminded of God's covenant with Abram. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God chose Abraham and the Jewish people by his sovereign will as his people, and he established a covenant with them. So by connecting Jesus to Abraham, it shows us that Jesus was born of the same family line through which God had promised to bless the entire world. These three significant titles that Matthew uses to describe Jesus recounts God's history that led up to the point where Jesus was introduced as the Messiah. So how many of you know who Jesus is yet? It's still not very clear. Part two, the history of our salvation. Look at verses 2-5. The first 14 generations of Jesus started with Abraham. Just as God chose the Israelite nation to be his people, he now sent his son for all of mankind. He chose all who would place their faith in him, just as Abraham did. Abraham wasn't just the father of the Jews, rather he was the father of all who were made righteous in God's eyes through faith. The history of our salvation began with God choosing a people to be his own. Verse 6-11 shows the next set of 14 generations, which mentions King David, who was the conquering warrior of Israel's history. Again, Matthew reminds us that Jesus came from King David's family line, therefore making the case that Jesus is the ultimate heir to the throne. Although the Jewish people were warned that they already had a king in God, they desperately wanted a figurehead to represent them. Therefore, God allowed them to have a monarchy and allowed them to choose a king to represent them. They had more bad kings than good ones because they were human and sinful, unlike God. By Matthew showing us that Jesus came from the family line of David, he was telling the next part of God's history by reminding us that God allowed mankind to also have a monarchy. He chose the people, but the people chose to replace God with an earthly king, and this led to idolatry and eventual slavery as they were exiled in Babylon. Look at verses 12-16. The last 14 generations are described here. Once exiled from their homeland, people began to realize the depth of their sin and their need for salvation. For 70 long years, the Jews were under the rule of an enemy king and unable to return home. Although a dark time, it served its purpose by helping the Jewish people to recognize their dependence on God. By understanding the three sets of 14 generations described in Matthew chapter 1, we can be reminded that God chose a people for himself, gave them what they asked for in the form of earthly monarchy, and in return, the people were disobedient and sinful. Despite the covenants that were made between God and the people were yet unfaithful. Yet God kept his promises and gave us grace through his son Jesus. Just like them, Jesus was a Jew who was related to these same forefathers and the same Jewish history, but Matthew wanted us to know that Jesus didn't just represent the Jews, he represented all of mankind. Part 3, four women. In addition to Mary, four women were mentioned within this genealogy. Women weren't typically mentioned in these genealogies, so why would he mention them here? Let's take a look at who they were. Tamar was the first woman mentioned. Tamar's husband died before they had children, and since his family wouldn't fulfill their duty to ensure Tamar had male offspring, she tricked her father-in-law into having children with her, twins, Perez and Zerah. The second woman was Rahab, a prostitute who hid two of Joshua's spies in exchange for her and her family's safety when the Israelites conquered Jericho. Ruth was the third woman, a righteous woman and a great example of purity and faithfulness. But like Tamar and Rahab, she was not an Israelite. She was a Gentile from Moab. The fourth woman mentioned wasn't even mentioned by name. She was referred to as Uriah's wife, and we know her as Bathsheba, the woman King David committed adultery with. So four women, three of which were Gentiles and three of which were immoral. Why were these women mentioned? By mentioning these women, Matthew reveals an important message about God's plan. God had now sent Jesus to be the Savior of all people. He didn't just come for the Jews or for righteous people. He came for all of mankind to save humanity from our sin. In conclusion, I believe I have broken down all of the important parts of Jesus' lineage and the significance of mentioning all of these names in the New Testament, no matter how difficult to read. We can understand if you still don't know who Jesus is fully. We have the rest of our lives to figure out who Jesus is. We come to learn who Jesus is through personal experience. We can do this by establishing a relationship with him through prayer, devotion, praise, worship, and studying the Bible to understand God's word. We also can live a life after God's own heart, fulfilling his vision for us, although it might not be clear right away. However, throughout this history that was just explained, one thing is very clear. God was in control the entire time, and even now through his son, Jesus. He was continuing to fulfill his covenants, and Jesus was the center of his plan. Jesus would be the king that fulfilled God's promise to David. He is in complete control, ordering the history of mankind to bring about his salvation. Oftentimes, this can be a hard concept and reality to grasp, especially in today's world. It's easy to focus on all of the negativity, the rising gas prices, the rising cost of groceries, cost of living, the war in Ukraine, the countless shootings affecting young people in our community, the opioid epidemic, illness, death, lack of fair opportunities for all, etc. It's important to remember that regardless of humanity's sin and flaws, God is faithful and nothing can stand in his way. He is the Almighty God who keeps his promises to his people. Through Jesus, our Messiah, we can be saved. There is no one in this world who does not need God's salvation. Even by including the four women in the genealogy, we are reminded that salvation is for all and God's promises are everlasting. So regardless of our past, present, or future sins, God has paved the way to save us from our sin through his son, Jesus. He is the ultimate blessing for all of mankind. He is our King, Messiah, and our Savior. That is who Jesus is. Thank you.